Man, I'm so glad you're here. Are you excited? Yo, this is going to be good. You do not want to miss a week of Grow Track this semester. You don't want to miss. You don't want to miss. And if you have to miss, you're going to, I'm telling you right now, you're going to regret it. Guys, we got some good stuff planned for this semester. I'm so excited. We're going to dive right in tonight. First thing first. How does God, and I'm going to ask you to respond tonight, okay? So talk to me as we're teaching tonight, but how does God reveal himself to us? How has God revealed himself to us? Through his word? Through the Holy Spirit? Through blessings? Through other people? Answered prayer? Through miracles? Through visions and dreams? Y'all have a, you ever had a dream and you're like, oh, that ain't from God. That ain't from Jesus. I don't know what that's from, but that's not from God. You ever had one of those dreams that you wake up and you think, man, that's a divine dream. I don't know what it means, but God, you're speaking to me. You're stirring me. So absolutely, God speaks through those things. Who else? How does God to reveal himself? Through nature. Paul says that God reveals himself even through the created things. So that at some point, man is without excuse to say that God never showed himself to me. Man, you wake up and you look out at a sunset or a sunrise. Man, it's hard to, at that point, convince yourself that there's no God. You look out at a butterfly. Butterflies are one of those things I'm fascinated by. And you think God didn't, you know, there's not a creator that created that thing? Absolutely, through creation. Two more. How about in the back? You guys, how does God reveal himself? Through little children. Sure. Through animals, for sure. The beauty of animals. How about you guys in the back? Through the blessings. So God speaks to us. God is revealing himself to us. Here's another hard question for you. God reveals himself to us. God's shown himself through his word. As we read through the word, we realize and we get the good news of Jesus Christ and this good man who does some great things. But then this good man who does some great things and says some cool stuff dies on the cross. Someone tell me why Jesus, the Son of God, had to die on the cross. To forgive us of our sins. It was his Father's plan. I love this right here, to bridge a gap. And we're gonna come back to that in just a moment. To bridge a gap. Powerful. Why did Jesus have to die on the cross? What does it mean to be redeemed or justified? How do I walk in the confidence of my salvation? You ever heard somebody say that before? Just walk in the confidence of your salvation. Man, that's a tough question. Understanding Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection. These are the types of things that we're going to kind of dig into tonight. Now, as I'm studying through and I'm preparing, like I'm thinking in my mind, we could stop at point one and just dig down, get a shovel and just go deep. And we're not going to be able to do that on every single point tonight, but our goal is to just scratch the surface for some of these things and kind of whet your appetite. And some of you guys, you're gonna know some of this stuff, but some of it may be absolutely fresh to you. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe upon him would not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is one of the most famous scriptures. You see it at football games, back there at the end zone. Stone Cold Steve Austin, right? Didn't he do like some 316 type thing? I don't know, I'm not a WWF, WWE fan. Jeremiah 24:7, not so famous of a scripture, but listen to what it says. I will give them a heart to know me that I am the Lord. They will be my people and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all of their heart. I will give them a heart to know me. I'm convinced that every single person on planet Earth has a heart that desires to know God. Like a homing beacon that there is a home and beacon in each and every single person that desires to get back home. So when we're talking to people and we're coming across, Pastor Jeremy says it this way, you'll never lock eyes with somebody that doesn't matter to God. Why? Because that person has a place and a purpose in Christ. So I'll give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all of their heart. We come to know God through knowing and understanding the life, the death, and the resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. The scriptures tell us that if you've seen Jesus, you've seen God the Father. Jesus has revealed himself. And so as we go through the New Testament and we read through the scriptures, we're seeing Jesus in the flesh, but we're also seeing who God is. So the ultimate revelation of God to mankind is who? So we know God through a lot of different things. So we experience God through nature. But nature is just it's a big arrow that's pointing to somebody, and his name is Jesus. Miracles, dreams, signs, and wonders, all the things you guys spoke about tonight, they're all pointing in a direction to someone, not just something, right? God's revealing himself to us through these things, but the greatest revelation of God to mankind is Jesus Christ. So you've got your notebook, you've got your pens, you ready to fill in some blanks? Say, I'm ready. Jesus Christ is the Son of God and was present at creation. Present at creation. Now, wait a minute. I thought he was just New Testament. I thought he was just on the right side of the book, not the left side. Well, we're going to find out that Jesus is thread through the entire scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. Listen to it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image. Let who? Let us make mankind in our own image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Let us, the triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, there at the beginning, the scripture also says that the Spirit of God hovered over the deep. The Spirit of God. Listen to John chapter 1, verse 1 and 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. There's Jesus, the Word, at the beginning of creation. Number two, God created us to love him and to have a close relationship with him. Did you know that you are created for relationship? Did you know that? You're created for relationship. You were born into relationship. You have never known life without relationship. Now, I'm not saying you didn't have good relationships, but you started out in relationship with somebody. We're created for relationship with each other and relationship with God. That's why the two greatest commandments are love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Because the two greatest things that God has called us to is love him and love each other. God created us to love him and have a close relationship with him. Genesis 3:8, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Something happened, and relationship was broken. What happened? What happened? Someone tell me what happened. In the beginning, God created mankind. They're enjoying the company with each other. And something happened, and all of a sudden, Adam and Eve are walking in the cool of the day with God, and now they're hiding themselves from God. Disobedience, rebellion, sin. Sin. Sin caused a chasm, a gap between us and God. Something happened there. Sin, rebellion, they disobeyed God, and now there's this rift, and we don't have a relationship with God anymore. Ephesians 1, 4 through 5, long ago, even before he made the world, God chose us to be his very own through what Christ would do for us. He decided then to make us holy in his eyes without a single fault. We who stand before him covered with his love, his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And he did this because he wanted to. Why is this so important? It's so important because God began with relationship with us, and his plan has always been to get back into relationship with us. Number three, sin entered the world through Adam and Eve's rebellion, causing a break in the close relationship with God and causing a great divide between God and mankind. It's interesting, you'll read in Genesis 3, 8 through 11, God says, "Hey, Adam, where are you?" How many of you guys know that God knew where Adam was? You know, it's like a parent, and your kid has done something wrong, and you ask the question, "What did you just do?" I don't need to know what you just, I know what you just did. I want you to think about what you did. And I love it when my kids respond like this, "Oh." Has anybody else's blood pressure rise just a little bit? Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? I want you to just pause for a second and ask the question in your own spirit. Where am I? Where am I? Honestly, where am I? Am I in close relationship with God? I'm not asking if you're sinless. I'm not asking if you're a perfect person. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Are you walking in the cool of the day with God? Or are you like Adam, hiding somewhere? Here's the interesting thing. How does Adam respond? He says, "We were hiding." What does he say? Why was he hiding? I was naked. I was naked. And the interesting thing about that is that he'd been naked the whole time. Sin didn't cause him to be naked. Listen to me tonight. This is super important. For the first time, Adam and Eve took their eyes off of Jesus and started looking at themselves. And isn't that what sin does to us? And it turns my eyes and my focus from Christ inward. And all of a sudden, Adam, who didn't know that he was naked, realized, "I'm naked." And so they sewed fig leaves to try to cover themselves. And actually, the first sacrifice that was made in Scripture to try to cover up, and that's an important thing, and we'll talk about that in a few weeks, tried to cover up. God took the skin of another animal and covered them. And the first sacrifice was made to help cover man's sin, to cover him up. So where are you tonight? Are you hiding from God? God knows you. God knows what's going on in your life. You're not hiding anything from him. Sin entered the world through Adam and Eve's rebellion. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Why? Why do we all fall short of the glory of God? What does that mean? There's a standard that God set, and we all fall short of that. And what we end up doing in life is we start living for the standard of one another rather than the standard that God's put before us. Right? And then here's the bad part, guys. We start judging ourselves upon that standard. And I want you to hear me tonight. You don't sit in a room with people at your table who think they're a whole lot better than you. There's no self-righteousness going on. If it is happening right here, Holy Spirit, convict us because we need to repent of it. We're all on the same playing field. Without Jesus, we're lost. Amen? So we're all walking together trying to figure this thing out. But our goal isn't to be like one another. Our goal is to be like Jesus. He's the standard. So we've all fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." This is the fundamental part of salvation. If we don't believe that we're separated from God, if we don't believe that we are in need of salvation, if we don't believe that we have sin in our lives, then there's no need for Jesus. I've asked people before, do you believe that you're a sinner? Well, I mean, I think I'm a pretty good person. Raise your hand if you feel like you're a pretty good person. Nobody? Dang, we need to raise the self-worth in here. I mean, we can all be good at some point, right? Compared to who? So we're living up to this standard, but guys, we can't reach it. But the fundamental part of salvation is to realize without Jesus, man, we're all walking dead. Y'all seen the show probably, you've heard about it. This is the real walking dead. For apart from Christ, we are dead in our transgressions and our sins. If you don't believe that you need saving, and it's pretty simple, then you won't be. If you don't have the belief that you need saving, then you won't be. So what is this separation? What does this separation look like? What does this great divide look like? I'm not a very good artist, but I'm gonna try to draw a picture for you tonight. Can you guys see this? I'm gonna try to write big. What we have here is man's problem, which is what? Man's problem. Sin. Sin is the problem. Sin is the problem. Rebellion. We've eaten of the fruit. We weren't supposed to do that. Satan convinced us that it was a good idea, and we went ahead and walked in that. And so that's our problem. Sin is the problem. The problem with sin is it equals death. Let me reveal a really important point. Satan has got many of us convinced that apart from Christ, we're truly living. But in all reality, apart from Jesus, we're actually dead. And there's no way that we can experience the life that God has really designed for us apart from Him. You may think that you're doing okay in life, but man, you can't live the life that God's designed you to live. Your God-given potential cannot be realized apart from Jesus Christ. Amen? So ultimate judgment, death. There's this great chasm that separates us from God's incredible plan for us. And what is God's incredible plan for us? What's God's plan? To be with Him, to have a relationship with Him. John 10:10, for Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have what? Life and what? Abundant life. That's God's plan, right? God's plan is that you would have abundant life. But I can't reach God's plan of abundant life because I can't get past this chasm. Let me ask you to think just for a second. What are some of the things that we do to try to reach across this space? What's that? We try to be a good person. Well, God's going to accept me someday. Why? Man, I ain't that bad. I'm better than so-and-so. Do we do it or we don't? Yeah? I'm a good person. What else do we do to try to fill this chasm? Oh, we go to church. Church attendance. Surely He's taking attendance up there. What else? We read our Bible. Now, wait a minute. Is it possible that I could know the Word of God and still not be saved? That's for a whole nother discussion, isn't it? God, we did miracles in Your name. I was in church every Sunday. Apart from me, for I never knew You. What does He want? Back to the beginning. We want relationship. God wants relationship with You. God wants a relationship. What else? What else do we fill that gap with? Okay. Now we're getting to what is really going to fill the gap. You know, we've got self-righteousness. We've got our own philosophies. Man, you talk to some people, they've got it all figured out. They know the beginning from the end. I mean, they've got it figured out in their 60 or 70 years worth of life, or even some of you got teenagers that got it figured out. But we try to fill this. Guys, here's the problem. We'll never bridge that gap with those things. We'll never bridge that gap. There's only one person that has bridged that gap, and that's Christ. Right? See, I'm a terrible artist, but this is supposed to represent the cross. It's a medieval cross. Don't judge me. God's solution was Jesus from the very beginning. He was going to help us bridge the gap. And let me tell you, bridging this gap has nothing to do with you at all. It has everything to do with Him. And He did it for you. For thousands of years after that event, God constantly revealed Himself to His people, reaching across this great divide. We read throughout Scripture, through many different prophets and priests and judges and kings, God has been working out the plan of salvation to restore us to right relationship from the very beginning. Jesus was not plan B because plan A didn't work out. Jesus was not plan B. He's been plan A from the very beginning. And that's important to understand because sometimes we read the scripture like, oh, Old Testament, dang, that didn't work out very good. So God's got like, plan B, I'm sending my son. It's always been. Jesus has always been plan A, and He's been revealing Himself. He has been showing Himself. He's been working Himself into the gap from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Number five, no attempt of mankind was able to build a bridge long enough to bridge this great divide. No sacrifice was truly sufficient. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. No sacrifice was sufficient in the Old Testament because man would sin again and cause the immediate need for another sacrifice for the sin to be forgiven. If we look in the Old Testament, we see that, again, the first sacrifice that was made to cover man's sin. And then in Leviticus, we see this whole system that God institutes where every single year sacrifices are made to give atonement, to cover up the sins of man. I wish I had time to go into it tonight, but one of the things, the priests would start and there'd be a bull that was sacrificed and the blood of the bull was spread out on the altar. And there's this whole thing about something has to die in order for us to live. The sacrifice that was made, and then two goats were presented. One of them was sacrificed and the other one became the scapegoat and was led off into the wilderness. And so we see this picture throughout the Old Testament that what? Sin is costly. Sin has to be paid for and atoned for. But the problem in the Old Testament was every single year a sacrifice was made. That same time next year, another sacrifice had to be made. Why? Because we're still sinners. Right? How many of you guys know that's, you know how that is? You showed up on Sunday and man, God did an incredible work and you repented of your sin and like you get to work on Monday and there's that crazy coworker again and you shoot off your mouth and you're like, there I go again. Am I right? And we do this thing and we try to bite our bottom lip as hard as we can. I won't sin, I won't sin, I won't sin, I won't sin, I won't sin. How do you guys know that doesn't work? That doesn't work. So sacrifices have to be made. A new sacrifice had to be made every year. No attempt was made. Was able to bridge that gap. So we use these words like atonement and redemption. And throughout this study, guys, you're going to hear some words. And if you don't know what the word is, if that's the first time you heard that, just write it down. Write it down and we'll walk through some of those things. But atonement, one of those words, the reconciliation of God and humankind through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ and His resurrection from the dead. Atonement. Redemption, to be redeemed or bought back, making a bad or unpleasant thing or person better or more acceptable. And only through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross are we able to be made right with God. His life, his sacrifice, bought us back from death, sin, to life in righteousness. If you ever come across anything that says, yeah, Jesus and, like, it's great, Jesus died on the cross and I believe that, but don't forget, you've also got to do this thing. When you read the New Testament, that's one of the things that Paul really tackles. He says, no, it's Jesus and him alone and his sacrifice. But sometimes what we do is we say, yeah, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins and he's done that work for me. But man, I better get to church every Sunday. And if I miss church, you know, or I've got this list of things that is Jesus and, Jesus and. Guys, Jesus has got to be the center of who you are. And we can be secure in our salvation when we say, Jesus has done the work and he's completed it on the cross for me. When the scripture says it is finished, man, it's finished. Look at your neighbor and say, it's finished. Therefore, Jesus came to build the bridge for us. He suffered and died, paying the debt of our sins, taking them upon himself and dying on the cross for all of us. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus bridged the gap. We are made righteous, right with God, because of what Jesus did on the cross. Not through your works, not through your biting your lip and trying to do everything right. It's made righteous. We're made righteous through Christ. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And by his wounds, we have been healed. Number 7, his sacrifice is the only sacrifice that could and did bridge the great divide. Number 8, when we decide to put our trust and faith in his life, death, and resurrection and make him Lord of our lives, we are saved. We are saved. This incredible thing, this incredible miracle of salvation occurs when we believe that Jesus is who he said he is and did what he said he did, and I accept that gift. The Bible says the old is gone and the new has come. God does something fresh and new in our life. Number 9, as believers in Jesus Christ, we now have access to God and his presence, and we can stand before him without shame or fear. At your tables, you should have a scripture there. I want you to take a few moments. You got some, your leaders, table hosts there. There's a scripture in Colossians 1:15-23. Paul is talking about who is Jesus. And I want you guys to read through that scripture as a group. I'll give you a couple minutes to do that. Read through that scripture and then take some notes, answer those questions, and we'll come right back to it. I'll give you about 4 or 5 minutes to do that. Ready, set, go. Paul says, Colossians chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he may have preeminence. Who do you say he is? Who do you say Jesus is? Who does Paul say that Jesus is? Real quick. He what? He's the Christ, the anointed one. Who else? Jesus is supreme. First, the beginning. The invisible image, or the visible image of the invisible God. How many of you guys know the people had issues with that back in the day? They still have them today. That's exactly right. Who else? Jesus is who? What is Paul saying about Jesus? Jesus is, he is God. He is first. Lord, the Son of God. I'm reading your notes. I'm cheating. Why is it important to have a clear understanding of who Jesus is? Guys, because that's how we get to the Father. Because God has revealed himself through his son, Jesus. He's the visible image of the invisible God. He is the one who fills the gap. And guys, every part of your life, he will be the one who fills the gap. It's like a good Sunday school class. Anytime somebody asks you a question in Sunday school, if you don't know the answer, a good answer is what? The answer is Jesus. You can't go wrong. Right? Jesus is a good answer. And I'm telling you, he's got to be the center of who you are. Remember, man's problem is sin, and sin has led to death. And we can't get over to God's plan for our lives because we're dead in our sins and our transgressions. Right? But the plan of God, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And how is all that going to be accomplished? It's through Jesus. It's always through him. Paul reached a point in his life, he said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I will go to the point of dying so that I may have that experience, because if Jesus died, then I want to die too. And if I die with him, then I'll also be resurrected from the dead with him. Anything that I have counted in my own flesh as worthy of something, I count it as rubbish. He used another word, but we won't use it tonight. It's crazy. Paul says it's junk. It's a pile of horse manure. It's dung. Can I say that word? All of that is junk. All the things that I could accomplish in my life are worth nothing compared to what? The knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It all comes back to that same thing, relationship. God wants a relationship with you. And how does he do it? He's done it through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. Because through the sacrifice on the cross, he's taken care of our what? Our problem, which is sin. And I love to say it this way. You know, there was a point that I gave my life over to Jesus and I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because that's what he does. I felt him reveal the answer to me in Jesus. I accepted that gift of salvation. I can tell you exactly where I was at that point. But guys, salvation didn't start and end at that point. Jesus has continued to save me every single day. Each and every morning I wake up to his mercies, which are new today. Why don't you take a moment, just bow your heads. So important. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about the gap. And some of you guys have been filling that gap. And tonight, I just want to give you the opportunity to say, you know what? I've been biting my lip long enough. I've tried long enough. And I'm ready to release my life into the hands of Jesus, to accept that gift of salvation. Jesus has done it for me. I'm ready to walk across that gap into God's plan for my life. I know that that's me tonight. I know that's me tonight. I feel a conviction of the Holy Spirit in me. If that's you, nobody's looking around. If that's you tonight, just slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. All over the room. Yes, 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 yes. Keep those hands up. Who else? Who else? You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. Jesus has done it. He's done it. He's completed the work for you. It is finished. It is finished. Praise God. You can put your hands down. Let's all, listen, we're not going to pray by ourselves. We don't do life alone. We don't pray alone. Let's pray this together. Pray this out loud with me. Listen, you may do this in your own way, in your own prayer language, in whatever, however you want to express this to God. But let's pray this prayer together tonight. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I make a terrible Savior. And you're the best Savior ever. I believe that you came to this earth. You lived a perfect life. You died a sinner's death. You were buried in a borrowed tomb. 3 days later, you were resurrected from the dead. And now I have life in you. I accept that gift of salvation. And I invite the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me to live a life that's pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, put your hands together for those that gave their lives to Jesus tonight. Come on, make some noise like it means something tonight. Bible says that all of heaven rejoices. They throw a big party every time somebody goes from death to life. And guys, there's about a dozen of you tonight that made this walk right here across into God's plan for your life. Come on. Because of what Christ has done, you've crossed the gap. And it doesn't end there. God's got an incredible plan for your life, and it begins now. Eternity doesn't begin the moment that you die. Eternity begins right now. Amen. I'm so excited about that. Listen, your next steps, and you're going to hear this a lot at Timber Creek Church, we encourage you to take next steps. That is your first step, but for many of you, your next step is going to be water baptism. Why do we get baptized? Water baptism is your opportunity to express outwardly what God has done inwardly. There's nothing incredibly miraculous about that pool of water in the worship center. It's a little warm. It's kind of like a hot tub, but not going to lie, sometimes it feels good, but sometimes that heater don't work and it's super cold. But there's nothing important about that water. What the important thing is that when you go into the water, you get into water baptism, it's exactly what Jesus did. When he went on in to meet with John the Baptist, and John the Baptist is baptizing people, and Jesus says to John, "Hey, John, you need to baptize me." And John says, "There ain't no way, you're Jesus. Like how am I going to baptize God?" And he says, "No, you do this for righteousness' sake. It's important for me to do this." Guys, we're going to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And I'm telling you, for the rest of your life, if you just do what Jesus did, you're going to be okay. If we'll just fulfill and do what God has revealed in his scriptures, we're going to be all right. So baptism is your next step. On the table, you're going to see there's some instructions, a little piece of paper. Your table host will lead you in that. Guys, 2 weeks, 1 week from this Sunday is Water Baptism Sunday. We want to fill that place. We want to celebrate with you. You say, "You know, I was baptized as a Catholic years and years ago." This doesn't nullify an experience that you had years ago. This is your opportunity to take that next step of obedience. And it's an easy one to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to walk in obedience. I'm going to get water baptized." So those of you that prayed that prayer tonight, you rose your hand, you need to get baptized. And you say, "Well, I've been baptized before." Listen, take that step again. Let us rejoice with you. Let's walk in community together. And I also want to ask you, fill out that card. There's a connect card at the table. There's a little strip that's red there. It says, "Today I'm making a decision to start following Christ." Maybe it is your first time ever. And you're saying, "This is for the first time ever. I'm deciding to follow Jesus." Mark that little spot there. Put your name on that and give that to your table host. Or, "Today I'm recommitting my life to Jesus. It's been a long time. It's been a long time, and I feel like I've drifted." How many of you guys know that when we drift, it's not God who drifts, it's us. But here's the cool thing. When we turn back over to him, that's what repentance is. I turn back over to him, man, he's running to meet us. And tonight, God is meeting you again. I'm going to ask Pastor Talia. She's going to come up in just a moment, but fill out that connect card. Give that to your table host. Let me pray over you one more time. God, thank you for what you're doing in this place. God, we're so thankful for the fruit of your word as it goes out and accomplishes what it's meant to accomplish. Thank you for this group tonight. Thank you for what you're doing. They're here by divine plan of God. Lord, you're moving in their lives. Solidify those things that have been talked about tonight, those things that we have accepted and received into our heart. Lord, may it produce fruit in and through us, and may we grow. We want to grow, and we want to move from where we're at. We want to be closer. Lord, a year from now, God, we want to know that we have walked closer with you, and you've revealed yourself deeper to us. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Let's give Pastor Dan a big hand for that powerful message. Love his passion for the Lord and God's word. I just wanted to conclude tonight by just saying a couple of things to you guys. You know, some of our favorite stories in the Bible are of these characters who do these extraordinary things for God. They do these extraordinary, amazing things for God. And we read them and we're like, "Man, I would love to be like Paul," or "I would love to be like Moses." Man, to have face-to-face conversations with God. Like these amazing characters that just wow us and sometimes just like make it hard to think we could ever measure up. But I want to encourage you guys tonight. What makes them so extraordinary was not just the fact that they said yes to God. What those people in the Bible did was they were not only embarking on a journey, but they stayed committed to the journey. They kept saying yes to God. It's so easy sometimes to start something, to say yes to God at the beginning, to embark on the journey, without committing to the process. Can I challenge you guys tonight? Know that it's not only, it is the heart of God. It is the heart of the Father that you continue to grow. That you don't just start Grow Track 1, but you continue faithfully committed to this process. Everyone listen. As you do that, you are going to see transformation in your life. It's a natural byproduct for the seed when planted consistently in the right conditions, when watered, when given sunlight, when given the right amount of shade. Listen, it is not hard for the seed to grow. It's a natural response to its environment. The consistent environment of Grow Track 1 in your life, the natural byproduct is that roots are going to begin to spring out of your little shell. And you are going to begin to sprout up and grow. What's powerful on the inside of you is finally going to come out. And those of you guys who you've already been used for God and you're in here to be reignited, He's going to do that in you all over again. How about this? How about the fact that God's probably going to plant in you people new seeds? Seeds that you don't even know about yet, that the Lord, our master gardener, is in here. He's going to be slinging seed every night. And we challenge you. We challenge you with, I feel like Paul when he's speaking to the church in Ephesus and Thessalonica. And he says, I urge you, brothers. I urge you, Timber Creek, to not just embark on a journey tonight, but to commit to it. To let the master gardener plant and water and fertilize and tend the soil around the seeds he's going to plant in your heart. And when you partner with God, come on, when you partner with God and you stay committed to that process, God will blow your mind as to what he will do in coming up out of your life. Are you guys with me tonight? I want to finish with this scripture. It's in Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. Ephesians 2, write this down. This is a good one for you guys tonight to chew on. 19 to 22. Paul's talking to the Ephesians, the Christians in Ephesus. And he says, you are no longer wandering exiles. You're no longer who you used to be. Listen, Timber Creek. You're no longer who you used to be. You're no longer wandering, un-Christ-following people. Listen to what he says. The kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers. You're no longer outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building something. He's building a home. He's using all of us, and irrespective of how we got here, doesn't matter how you got here, he is using all of us in here to build something great for himself. He used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation, but now he's using you. He's fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone, holding all parts together. Listen, we see it. Listen to what Paul said. Paul said, I see it. He said, we see it taking shape day by day. What does that speak to? There was a process. God was moving through a process and changing the Ephesians' lives forever. He says, we see it taking shape day by day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. That's what he's doing in here tonight. That's what he wants to do. He wants to see you grow, but he wants to lay a good foundation in here so that when you get to grow two, what I told them tonight, I said, your foundation's already laid, grow two. It's time to put up the 2x4s. We're getting ready to put up some sheetrock. Guys, your foundation is critical to the strength of the home and the structure God is getting ready to build in your life. All right. Can I pray for you tonight? Can we agree? There's power in agreement. We've got almost 90 people here tonight. I think we've got some power in here to pray. Can we just agree? Do you agree and ask the Lord to not just let you be a starter, an embarker, but a finisher? Father, we just come to you right now, Lord, and we're so thankful for what you're doing tonight in Grow Track 1, Grow Track 2, Grow Track 3, all across this campus. God, I pray in the name of Jesus. I pray for this group like Paul prayed for the Christians in Ephesians. He said, oh God, may they come to know you. May they come to have wisdom about who you are. Paul said, God, may they have depth of insight as they study and as they grow. God, I pray that right now over every man, every woman at the sound of my voice. I pray for a blessing and an anointing in here for amazing spiritual growth. I pray for a hedge of protection over all of you right now and your families. Father, may the enemy not try to come in and discourage them from this journey. I pray for a determination and a commitment to be in all of our hearts tonight, God. To not give up. To not give up on this journey. God, stir in us a desire to want to be like you. Lord, help us to grow into the men and women of God you've created us to be. And it's in Jesus' powerful name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Taylor's going to close us this evening. Thank you so much.